Thank you for listening to the Destined Youth Podcast. I have no idea why I'm talking like this, but apparently this is how most bumpers are supposed to sound. And now, let's begin. I don't think that's how they usually talk, though.
tonight. Let me see your hand. Why don't you reach over and catch your neighbor by the hand? And say, neighbor, I don't know what you're coming to do, but I'm coming to praise Jesus. And if you don't want to praise him, get out of my way. Get out of my way. Get out of my way.
Praise God. Welcome in, everybody. My name is Michael. Welcome to Destiny Youth. It's good to see you guys tonight for the first night of And You Shall Receive Power. Before we go any further, I'm going to read to you the scripture that God gave me concerning this event. I was actually planning to do our regular monthly live stream, special live stream that we do once a month. And I repeated myself saying that. But anyway, and I started feeling led like I needed to do something different. So he told me to do this thing here. And the scripture he gave me was Acts 1:8. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the farthest parts of the world," or the farthest parts of the earth. So we, through the Holy Spirit, have become, or when we receive the Holy Spirit, we become witnesses to the power of Jesus Christ. So we don't just talk about a risen Savior, but we show his power. We show that that same Savior, that even though they crucified him, he lives again, and he's still doing great and mighty things. Can you say amen? So I'm very happy to be with you guys tonight. So get ready. We have tonight, we're talking about dominion over sin through the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about dominion over sickness through the Holy Spirit. And the next, then Saturday, we have our friend Bryce Holmes zooming in with us. You know, he couldn't be with us in person because I didn't ask. but he's not. He's going to be with us over Zoom. And it's going to be really cool to get him in. And he's going to be talking about poverty and how we have dominion over poverty through the Holy Spirit. So before we go any further, enjoy this worship song from the Rhema Singers. Take it away.
Yeah.
Praise God. I purposely chose that song, number one, because it expresses what Jesus has already done, number one. And number two, because he says that we have, he says something about the Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I've got him. And so the whole thing that we're going to be talking about today, the whole purpose of this event is to talk about the Holy Spirit, to talk about what he's done in our lives, what he's going to be doing in our lives, and how he gives us power in our daily lives over different obstacles and challenges. One thing that a lot of people, for some reason, don't seem to understand is that because you preach on dominion over, you know, things in this world doesn't mean that you don't have challenges or that the devil doesn't try to do stupid stuff. But it means that when the time comes to deal with those challenges, you have the necessary equipment in the spirit. You have the necessary, what is the word I'm looking for? The necessary intelligence by the Spirit to do what you have to do. Obviously, we understand that in, I believe it's 1 Corinthians, the Bible lets us know that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, and they cast down every vain imagination that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And so, this spiritual warfare walk that we have daily in life It's about basically yielding to God every day and yielding to his word. You can't really yield to God if you don't know his word, or at least aren't learning his word, you know, because, you know, you have people there. I'm pretty sure that, and maybe God would disagree with me, but I'm pretty sure he would agree with me, that if you believed one Bible verse versus a guy who knows the whole Bible and believes none of it, God would favor you, because the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so I purposely focus on the victory part of life. I just watched something that I said months ago, and I'm not saying this to say I'm, you know, I got it right on that. I got it on the money. But real talk, don't focus on the rough season. Focus on the outcome. Focus on the victory that's already been promised to you on the other side. So today we're talking about victory over sin and living a life of holiness unto God. Obviously, the Bible lets us know that the Holy Spirit's not called the righteous spirit. He's called the Holy Spirit. We've been made righteous because of what Christ did. So anything after that is just really to help, is to further our witness and to make sure we don't fall back into the trap of sin. So what I mean by that is that a lot of people say, well, you can't really, if it's based off of our holiness, then Christ, we're not really made righteous because of what Christ did. Well, no, we are made righteous. The problem with sin is that it carries an ability to drag you back into it if you're not careful. So you have to kill sin before it kills you. Can you say amen? So I'm going to pull up a few scriptures. I got my Bible right here, and we're going to just go right into it. I didn't get any points. All I've got is scriptures, because I was asking the Lord about this, and so I didn't want to rehash old stuff, but that's probably what we're going to have to do. So we're going to go to James chapter 3. I'm going to take you all over pretty much the New Testament, because I feel like there's no better place to learn about victory over sin than where you see it prevalent in the church, and that's in the New Testament, you know. So James chapter 3, verse 16. James chapter 3, verse 16. Let's see. I'm glad you guys are watching all over YouTube, Facebook. They call it X now. I still call it Twitter. Where else? We're on Twitch and Kick. By the way, I just saw on Kick yesterday, we have like 6 followers. I mean, I haven't been showing anybody the Kick account. So to those of you that watch consistently, I praise God for you. I can't see the viewer count for it through Restream, but I thank God that you guys are watching. So God bless you. James chapter 3, verse 16. For where jealousy, selfish ambition exist, there is disorder, unrest, and rebellion, and every evil thing and morally degrading practice. So I showed this scripture first off because one of the things that will help you indicate why there may be sin in people's lives, or one of the things that will help you get victory over sin, is getting rid of fighting amongst yourselves, getting rid of unrest and rebellion. And rebellion means to have an attitude of not wanting to obey people in authority over you. Look, reality is there are people above us that we may not like, but they're above us, and so we have to honor and respect them. You may disagree politically with some of the people in government, but they are our leaders for a reason, and so we have to pray for them. That's why Paul tells us to pray for them. It's not because we don't want anything to happen. It's because prayer is really the most effective way to see change in your government, is because when God can change the heart of a man who's wicked, then their whole agenda changes. So when it comes to rebellion is, the Bible says, is as the sin of witchcraft. So it causes an unrest among the people. It causes things to start falling apart because it's a divided house against itself. Jesus said, can a house divided against itself stand? So we understand that if you have unrest amongst yourselves or amongst people around you, or you have unforgiveness, it's going to be really hard for you to live a life of holiness. I mean, honestly, if you are carrying unforgiveness for a long period of time, I don't understand how you can even attempt to want to. I don't smoke. I don't drink. It's like, yeah, but you don't talk to your own brother. you're still mad at him. The Bible actually says that if you don't forgive others, the Heavenly Father will not forgive you. Your Heavenly Father won't forgive your sins if you don't forgive other people. Because what right do we have to hold unforgiveness against other people? I mean, you have Jesus being nailed to a cross, and instead of them saying, man, we made a mistake, they kept on joking him while he's dying. I mean, I don't know how much more wicked you can get than that. So I'm saying all that to say that the first place to check that if you see some sort of, problem with sin, check unforgiveness. Check, do you have beef with somebody that you may need to squash? And how do you squash it? Don't wait for them to, Lord, I pray that you tell them to apologize to me. Or you could be the bigger man and just go and apologize. And don't be like, I'm sorry you felt that way. That's not apologizing. Apologizing is literally just saying, I'm sorry, I did not mean to make you feel this way. Please forgive me. And that's that simple. And so that will squash pride. That'll squash all this other stuff. And it will help you to really hone in and eliminate possibilities of open doors being open in your life. So that's the first one. Let's talk about that a little bit. You know, now that I'm feeling a little bit about open doors, the whole Bible, you know, you really see throughout the whole Bible that it's all legalism. The Word of God shows us legal stuff in the spirit realm. And so if you're doing stuff that goes against the Word, you're opening yourself up to possible attacks of the enemy. Now, obviously, the doors can be closed instantly through repentance of sin and turning back to God. And, you know, God is merciful and gracious to us, but we don't want to just keep doing it. But the Bible is very clear that we can open ourselves up to attacks. And sin actually makes you more, and the thing about it, it's all in the mind. Like I said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You actually look up the word strongholds. In the Greek, it's actually a military term that means a mentality or a false reality that we hide in to get away from the real reality of what's going on. So you have a lot of people who have a lot of beliefs that aren't in scripture. That's a stronghold. They're not demons. Strongholds aren't demons. They are the lies that demons tell us. They are the lies of Satan that contradict the word of God. And so that's why you have to cast down every vain imagination. It's not just talking about, you know, I imagine I'm a pony. I'm talking about imaginations means ideas. Okay. Those things that you conjure up in your mind and how, you know, and the enemy plays off of that. You know, that person don't love you. It does nothing for you. And sin opens you up to that, because the one time you mess up, here comes the lies of the devil. You know, you did wrong. You messed up. Boo-hoo, blah-ha, blah-ha, and you're crying, and, you know, you think God doesn't love you anymore, you think God hates you, he's done, he's quit. And so we have to have the Word of God to remind us of who we are in Christ, and that the Bible says in many scriptures that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So that's James chapter 3, verse 16. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 6, probably the best, in my humble opinion. I don't know a lot. I'm just some random kid on YouTube. Romans chapter 6, we're going to pretty much read most of it because it carries a lot of weight when it talks about sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say to all this? Should we continue in sin and practice sin as a habit so that God's gift of grace may increase and overflow? Certainly not. And that's one thing I want to say. The real gospel should make you question, well, should I keep on sinning? If somebody tells you something and you don't ask that question, if somebody tells you something from the gospel and you don't ask that question, really consider what you're being told. Because when somebody told me that I'm free and I'm right just because of what Christ did, I'm like, so wait, I can just keep doing whatever I want to do. And then he says, here's the answer to the question. Certainly not. How can we, the very ones who died to sin, continue to live in it? So when you got saved and you believed God, you went from being the person that put Jesus on the cross to being the person that died with him. So when he died, we died with him. And you're going to keep going. Watch this. Or are you ignorant of the fact that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We have therefore been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory and power of the Father, we too might walk habitually in the newness of life. It's a habit. So that means that you have to continually practice it. The Bible actually says to practice godliness and righteousness. Paul told Timothy that. So you have to continually practice this walk of life, this walk of holiness. So that means getting rid of habits that don't benefit you, that are sinful. But how do I replace them? You have to replace them with godly habits. So instead of me just saying, I'm not going to look at her. I'm not going to look, you know, I know she's fine, but I'm not going to look. No, you start thinking of, you start asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what can I do instead? And what can I do to replace this bad habit, this sin with something else? You see what I'm saying? So let's keep going. For if we have become one with him, permanently united in the likeness of his death, we will also certainly be with one with him and sharefully in the likeness of his resurrection. So as you continue to die daily, the Bible says we crucify ourselves daily. As you continue to crucify yourself daily, guess what? Then you can honestly say that I can be resurrected with him because I shared in his suffering. And suffering is not what people think it is. It's not what life throws at you. Because if that was suffering, there are tons of atheists who are suffering right now, and they won't get anything for it. So it has nothing to do with the life. It has everything to do with how you kill yourself on a regular basis. I know you're probably like, why did you just say kill yourself? Because that's reality. You have to take up your cross and follow Jesus. Be willing to put yourself on the cross on a regular basis. And that's a practice. That's a thing you have to continually do. Can you say amen? So let's keep going. This is my favorite part of Romans chapter 6. We know that our old self, our human nature without the Holy Spirit, was nailed to the cross with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For the person who has died with Christ has been freed from the power of sin. Let me go back over that. We know that our old self, our human nature without the Holy Spirit, was nailed to the cross with him. So I don't have to wait for death before I can say, well, there's a leak in this old building, you know, people saying that all the time. And then it's like, he says, in order that our body of sin might be done away with. Notice the key word is might. That means that there's a possibility for not to be done away with because of our lack of living habitually in the newness of life, this new spirit that we have now. And so he says, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. One thing I can't stand is when people call themselves sinners and they're saved. I mean, they're Christian people who call themselves sinners. I'm like, what scripture is that? The Bible actually lets us know that sinners will not sit in the congregation of the righteous. So if you call yourself righteous, then you can't call yourself a sinner. It's an oxymoron. They don't go together. That's like calling myself a dirty bar of soap. There might be, anyway, I could go into a whole metaphor on that, but genuinely, scripture lets us know that when we get saved, we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Praise God. That makes me happy, you know? So, you know, we have the desire in us to do what's right. Now people say, well, what about when Paul was talking about, you know, I want to do right. Even when I wanted to do good, evil was always present. Read till the end of the scripture of the chapter. He says, but who can save us from this body of sin? He says, thanks be to God for the Lord Jesus, who gives us victory. Think about that. The answer to the problem was in Christ. Christ solved the problem for us. Praise God. And so we have to understand that we died with him, our old self died with Christ. Praise God. So now that we understand that the possibility of sin may be in our walk with other people, meaning a lack of love or a lack of understanding toward people, and we also understand that we've been crucified with him, I'm going to go to First John chapter 5, and this is going to help us even more. I'm just going off of scriptures that I felt the Lord speak to me to talk about, and we're just going to go in and enjoy ourselves. Pull up a chair, enjoy this buffet, praise God. Everyone who believes with a deep, this is 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes with a deep, abiding trust in the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the is born of God, that is reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed. Man, I like how the Amplified breaks that stuff down. I'm going to read that again. That is reborn from above. There's a scripture that actually says, he who was born from above is above all. That's in John, the book of John, the Gospel of John. He says, he who is born from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose, and everyone who loves the Father also loves the child born of him. So you have to love those people around you. You can't say you love God, but you can't love the person that looks just like him. You know, I could go into that, but, you know, I've pretty much drilled that point home. You cannot really walk in this spirit of life without walking in a spirit of love first. Praise God for that. By this we know without any doubt that we love the children of God, expressing that love when we love God and obey his commandments. For the true love of God is this, that we habitually keep his commandments. I'm taking these glasses off because, you know, unfortunately my face isn't as, is not dry for some reason. Praise God. But anyway, we're going to keep going. For the true love of God is this, that we habitually keep his commandments and remain focused on his precepts. And his commandments and his precepts are not difficult to obey. I want you, if you're taking notes, write that down. And I want you to remember that. Put that in the comments, actually. That his commandments and precepts are not difficult to obey. When you have the Holy Spirit, his commandments are not hard to do. They're hard to do if you're not saved. They're hard to do if you're a sinner because you're asking, it's like asking a fish to climb a tree. A fish doesn't have the capacity or the capabilities to climb a tree. But if you have a person who's born of the Spirit, they can do spiritual things. They can do those things that the Spirit requires because the Spirit also gives you the power to do those things. Let's keep going. For everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has conquered the world, has conquered and overcome the world, our continuing and persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God. Who is the one who is victorious and overcomes the world? It is the one who believes and recognizes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he who came through water and blood, his baptism and death. Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by water and the blood. It is the Holy Spirit who testifies because the Spirit is the truth. He is the essence and origin of truth itself. Praise God for the Holy Spirit being truth. Now, there are three witnesses, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three are in agreement. Their testimony is perfectly consistent. If we accept as we do the testimony of men, that is, if we are willing to take the sworn statements of fallible humans as evidence, the testimony of God is greater, far more authoritative, for this is the testimony of God, that he has testified regarding his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God, who adheres to and trusts in and relies confidently on him as Savior, has the testimony within himself because he can speak authoritatively about Christ from his own personal experience. I want you to think about that. If you do not have the ability to give somebody a testimony on what God has done for you when you got saved or something that to see that the change in your life, you have to really question your walk with God. I'm not saying that you need to be going through something bad for God to show himself mighty in you. I am saying this, though, that if you got saved because your parents told you to, or you got saved, or you were raised Christian, but you never gave your life to God, you never had that one-on-one encounter with God, I'm sorry to tell you, but you need that. Because in this time, the times that we're living in right now, you have to have some sort of driving force behind you. You know, if God didn't call me to preach, I would probably have given up 2 months after I started, 2 or 3 months, probably 4 months, because, you know, I know myself pretty well. I'd probably gave up by the end of 2022. Here I am. It's actually been a year to the T since I started preaching the gospel. And I'm glad to say that it's been the Holy Spirit. Even those nights when, like I told you guys before, I tell you guys pretty often that your flesh wants to sit down because my bed is now 3 feet in front of me. I can put my foot on it. And I would rather, you know, be watching The Flash right now or watching SpongeBob downstairs, you know, eating a can of beans or something. But here's the thing. That's the flesh. I'm not by the flesh. I'm by the Spirit. So you have to have a testimony on your lips. The Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's in Revelation. And that's not, even though Revelation is stuff that is to come, the principle still applies. You, the word of God and the testimony and the blood of Jesus are the three most powerful things you have. Your testimony means it comes off of your lips, meaning you speak what God has done for you. Matter of fact, I want to go over something real quick. I know we're talking about sin, but while we're on this subject, if you look at David, when he went to go fight Goliath, he took his staff. I remember this guy told me this, and this was insane. He said, you notice he took his staff with him. The reason why he took his staff is because back in those days, the shepherd used to carve out a story or his testimony on the staff. And he would look at it whenever he was about to go and fight because it would help him to remind himself of what God had brought him through. So he took his weapons that helped him fight, but he also took his testimony with him. Because your testimony helps you to remember where God brought you from last time. You should not be back at square one after God brings you through something. You should be at a new place in God if I get married tomorrow and the girl I'm married to, she does something nice for me. If I keep on doubting her over and over again, you could question whether we're actually in a relationship or whether I'm sane. Because if she's telling me something, she's constantly coming through for me every time, and I still can't, be thankful for that. I still can't remember that, So it's the same thing with a Christian who does not praise God. Why aren't you praising God? The Bible says that praise is comely of the upright, meaning it's like breathing air for our natural bodies. Praise is like oxygen. If you're not praising God on a regular basis, you have died spiritually somehow. Because it's comely for the upright. It's normal for upright people. It has to be. It's scripture. So if you're not praising God in church, if you're sitting, in the back just chilling, then are you actually saved? I'm not trying to be that guy, and I'm not trying to judge people. I understand everybody's in different spots of life. But if you are upright, it doesn't matter how I feel, I give God praise. And so as we continue to learn about our position in Christ, being upright because of what he did, we have to learn to walk upright. I don't have to learn how to talk like my dad. I don't have to learn how to look like my dad. You could ask any of my family members. You could ask any of my friends. I look like my dad. I didn't ask for it. I didn't say, Lord, Father God, drop in my spirit, my father, his likeness and stuff. No, that was called genetics. When you get born again, you're reborn. So you take on the nature of God. Now, the fight that you're having is that you're fighting your flesh nature. That's the part of you that doesn't want to praise God. That's the part of you that doesn't want to read. That's the part of you that doesn't want to pray. That's the part of you that doesn't want to forgive people, that doesn't want to love people. And anybody that tells you, I don't have that, they're lying to you. Okay, every person has that, and every person has a choice to make to kill it. Praise God for that. So we've just read how, and we're going to keep going. We're not done with 1 John yet, but we have a new genetic code that basically makes us have a desire to want to please God. We have a desire to want to do what he says. We have a desire to want to lift up holy hands and give him praise and worship his name, because it's not something he had to make me do. It's just part of who I am. It's just part of my genetic makeup. I didn't have to be taught how to breathe. No, I just breathed. And it's the same thing with you and me after being born again. Nobody had to teach me how to praise God. I saw a video. Oh my gosh, dude. And this guy he had just got saved, and not even 2 seconds, the man is bawling his eyes out with his hands up. The preacher gives him his Bible, and he's just bawling his eyes out, giving God praise for being saved. When was the last time you saw a Christian who had been saved 30 years crying his eyes out or her eyes out for being saved? That's why sometimes I'd be worried. I'm like, Lord, I haven't cried. I'm not saying because I want to cry. I'm just saying it's like there should be a response to being happy that we're called to be his children, that he's called us to take this gospel. I'm honored that he told me to do this. I'm honored. I'm not using myself as an example. For some reason, This collar is really messing with me right now. It's like really starting to irritate me. But anyway, I'm just letting you know that you have a right and you have a, I'd say, a duty to praise God. You have a, you have an obligation, not because God is going to, you know, throw you in hell if you don't praise him, but because if you're really saved and you've been really saved from hell in the first place, then you should be praising him consistently anyway. Should be something. I mean, my dad is one of the best examples of that, you know, and I talk about my dad a lot, but one thing he does, he'll stub his toe. And my brother's over here and he could attest to it that when my dad stubs his toe, he goes in the tongues. He starts praying in tongues because it's just part of his spirit. It's just what he does. So I'm not saying that to boast about who I am or whatever. But if you're truly saved, if you're truly who you say you are, that you truly believe Jesus Christ is Lord, first off, you love people. You don't make excuses for sin. And number three, you give God praise. Let's keep going. Praise God. That made me feel good. He who has the Son, by accepting him as Lord and Savior, has the life that is eternal. He who does not have the Son by personal faith does not have the life, does not have it. It's not like, well, maybe, no. If you are saved, you have the life and you need to be living. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, which represents all that Jesus Christ is and does, so that you will know with settled and absolute knowledge that you have already received eternal life. So this is a checklist for you. Am I doing this? Am I doing that? And if I'm doing these things, that means I'm saved. Now, if you know you're saved, but something isn't adding up, you need to start doing that thing. Because if you proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and there's something on that list not missing, then I'm telling you, tighten up. I'm not trying to be judgmental. Hey, I haven't arrived anywhere. God is still teaching me on a regular basis. But one thing I'll let you know for sure is that, you know, the one thing that God can't stand is a person who's just like, well, yeah, I do that. Well, the Lord knows my heart. Yeah, he does. And he knows where it's going. So he's warning you, hey, tighten up. I'm soon to come back. Praise God. Let's keep going. This is the remarkable degree of confidence which we have as believers are entitled to have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that is consistent with his plan and purpose, he hears us. Because we're his children, we have confidence that when I ask him for something and it's in his word, it's going to happen. I don't have to say, Lord, I'll tell you, look, I told you guys this before, and you know, I don't know who's watching now, so this is could be a whole set of different people. But I'll tell you this. One time I had a friend who had a cold, and I told them, I said, I'm going to pray that your cold goes away. By the end of tonight, your cold will be gone. And that person said, okay, they didn't believe me. And I knew they didn't. I almost didn't believe myself. The spirit lifted off of me. I said, what the heck did I say? I was going to text them back and be like, hey, I'm sorry, I missed it. Take some what do they take for colds now? I don't know. I don't take medicine. I'm not saying that judgmentally. I don't like medicine. I don't want to take it. If God didn't deliver me out of it, I don't want it. Praise God. There's no spirit of ibuprofen. Can you say amen? But anyway, he's like, so I prayed and I was praying in tongues, Lord. And every time I said, Lord, heal her. Guess what? I could feel the Lord getting, like, he would prick my heart. He's like, why do you keep asking me that? I'm like, I mean, you know, I didn't know what to say, because what do you say to God who's asking you why you're saying something? I mean, no excuse you can come up with is going to be good enough. He's like, do you believe that I've already taken the stripes for this sickness? I said, yeah. He said, so then stop asking me to do something about it. I've already done everything I can for it. Matthew 8:17, he said, he bore our sickness and carried away our diseases. They're not, and then he took me even deeper. He's like, when I took sin, I took the whole thing. I didn't take sin. And, you know, you guys deal with the poverty and the, you know, the sickness and the familial issues and the marriage issues. No, he took the whole package for you. He took the whole thing. He became the whole package. So when my sickness was put in his body, his healing was put in my body. Praise God. I feel the anointing on that. And I'm not trying to be talking about healing, but I'm letting you know this, that whenever I ask something in his name, I have confidence that he understands and hears what I'm saying, to the point where You can get to the point where when you pray, God hears you before you're speaking it. And so while you're just thinking, man, that'd be really cool, something happens that allows it to, it just comes to pass just by thinking about it. So I'm telling you, there are things that we can tap into as his children when we learn to start living right. And we start to learn to start reading the word. And if we know for a fact, as indeed we do, that he hears and listens to us and whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted to us the request which we have asked of him. So I don't just believe he hears me. I believe he knows and answers my requests already, that they're already granted. I already know they're done. I already know they're fixed. I already know it's already set in stone. I'm not saying, Lord, Lord, please, please, please. I'm saying, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that it's already set in my favor. Thank you, Jesus. I had to do that today. Lord, you know, Lord, it's really, you know, sometimes you get in your feelings and you know, the Lord will shake you up real quick. Hey, enough of that. That's how he talks to me sometimes anyway. Hey, come out of that. That ain't you. That ain't you. That's the devil. That's the devil trying to mess with you. Come out of that. So then instead of saying, Lord, help me with this, I say, Lord, I thank you. You've already given me a spirit of excellence. So this whole event thing that I've been, you know, been trying to set up, it began to weigh on me early this morning. I was like, I don't know. I'll just do something real simple. No, I went in. I spent up until the time it was to go live, spent time praying and, you know, listening to stuff and working on this thing. And I said, Lord, I thank you for excellence. I thank you for a spirit of determination, all this kind of stuff. You know, once you understand scripture, you don't ask God for stupid stuff. You just say, Lord, I thank you that you've already given me everything I need that pertains to life and godliness. He's already made us close to him. I mean, he lives in me, for goodness sake. I don't have to ask him, Lord, make me close to you. I'm already close to him by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God literally lives in me, speaks through me, thinks through me, all that kind of stuff. I'm not sitting here hoping, you know, that I scrape by. That's not the God we're talking about here. Let's keep going. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin that does not lead to death, he will pray and ask on the believer's behalf, and God will forgive him life to those whose sin is not leading to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for this kind of sin. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. One can repent of it and be forgiven. We know that with confidence, anyone born of God, check this out, does not habitually sin. But he, Jesus, who was born of God, carefully keeps and protects him, and the evil one touches him not. That's the same scripture that Jesus, he prayed that when he was in the garden in John chapter 17. One thing I'll say, and this is, I've talked about this on video before, when I was in college for a little bit, for the third time, there was a young group I used to go to, a little, you know, men's group I used to go to, for our dorm. And I remember they were talking to us about, you know, being free from strongholds and stuff. And, they were talking about, do you think it's possible to be absolutely free? And, you know, the majority of the crowd, for some, reason, they said no. They don't think it's possible for you to be absolutely free. There's always going to be something, you know, God has to deal with. Amen. That's what they told us. That's what they said to us, right? And so they got to me. They asked me the question. And I said, no, I think it's possible you can be absolutely free from everything. And they got upset. So they start talking about, you know, well, God, and they actually said this, God's grace actually gives us the ability to sin and still come back to him whenever we mess up. I was like, actually, no, that's not true. We see throughout the New Testament that Paul talked about grace, and it wasn't the grace to just keep on screwing up. I'm not saying that God isn't merciful, but don't fall in love with the mercy of God. You know, it's not a fun place to be in when you're constantly hoping, is the rapture about to happen? Do I have time? You know, you don't want to live like that. You don't want to live constantly looking like this. You want to live like this, like, Lord, I'm ready for whenever you decide to show up. But I said all that to say that these guys, they went in on me pretty hard. They were upset with me because I made a stand for scripture. So they, you know, they did this whole thing when they said, all right, we're going to go around the room and talk about some of the strongholds we're dealing with. So everybody goes around. They said, just list two or three. No, they did this first. They said, we're just going to do a little silent prayer. And I want you to just bow your head and just ask the Lord, whatever things are, you know, strongholds in your life. Amen. Just ask the Lord what he says about it. So everybody's just sitting there like this. You know, I didn't want to seem rebellious, but I know what the Bible says. And I'm not, if the Bible doesn't preach it, I'm not doing it. So I'm sitting there like this, like looking around like. And I mean, the guy's apartment, the dorm was nice. So I wasn't upset. You know, I got to look around a little bit. They finally opened their eyes, you know, from their prayer. I'm not saying none of them didn't pray. I'm just saying, you know, most of them probably were just sitting there like, man, what am I going to eat for dinner tonight? But anyway, so they go around the room. They say, what are your some strongholds? And everybody, I mean, when I tell you there was a negative anointing in the room, I mean that there was a negative anointing. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's just defeat. The anointing causes you to excel and be great in the Holy Spirit. And then there's fear, which is a spirit of fear that just causes you to feel like. And that's what that was. I mean, I literally felt yucky. And everybody's just going, you know, I think I focus on money too much. And, you know, I just struggle with, you know, lust and all these different things. Now, here's my thought process on this whole thing. Even at that time, I was struggling with stuff. But you weren't going to catch me speaking that. I literally remember when they got to me, because they singled us out for some reason, like that was gonna, you know, break out into a deliverance service. I'm not really sure what they were planning, but they sat there and they went around the room and asked every person. So they got to me and I said, nah, I'm good, bro. They said, you sure? And I said, yeah, no, I'm fine. So they said, we'll come back to you. I said, y'all can come back to me. My answer's not changing, because I'm telling you what I heard. I actually heard this thing say, come on, give me a foothold. Give me a foothold. Because I had this battle going on, because I was like, I don't want to seem like I'm trying to be rude or anything. But at the same time, I know what the Bible says. I'm not speaking nothing like that. So I, you know, I didn't cave. I did not do that. I actually said, no, I don't have any strongholds. And they got a little irritated with me, because they're like, who is this guy? You know what I'm saying? And I just, I stood my ground. And I tell you what, I felt peace when I did that. I knew that when I did that, I was getting the attention of God. I was not about to go and fit in with the defeated crowd, which surprisingly and ironically are the Christians. For some dumb reason, it's the Christians that have a hard time accepting the fact that they've been free from sin. It's like listening to people talk about generational curses is one of the most irritating things in the world. They love talking about generational curses. They'll never talk about generational blessing. They'll talk about spirits all day, but they won't talk about the spirit of faith. We love deliverance service, but we don't like, how about discipline? I mean, I'd rather learn how to stay free than just getting some devil cast out of me. I'm not saying I don't believe in demons. I'm not saying that demons don't harass people and possess unbelievers, but the fact that it's such a, there's for some reason they have such a huge role to play in everybody's life is, you know, it's not even biblical. Matter of fact, the only time you see Paul pray about the devil is never, you know, it's actually, there's no time he actually prays about the devil. The only time he mentions the devil is when he says, I want you to realize the level of authority you're in Ephesians chapter 2, which we're going to get into in a little bit. But I'm on a rant right now, so I might as well finish it. So I want you to realize that this life we live, you know, you've got to realize who you are in Christ. You have Christians that will spend hours and hours trying to study demons. Like they have some sort of control over your life. Like they can do anything to you. I don't get it. You'll have a whole seminar full. It'll be thousands of people coming to hear you preach on how they have demons inside of them. And these are all Holy Ghost filled believers, as if the Holy Ghost and the devil are roommates or something. I don't understand that. And then you can preach on the blessing of God and everybody calls you a false prophet, calls you a heretic. But for some reason, it's OK to talk about how defeated some of the church is right now. But listen, I'm not here to talk about that. I'm just letting you know that there's an inconsistency somewhere with our belief system. And I think it starts with the mind. That's what the Bible says. Those strongholds are in the mind. They're not demons. I went over that already. They are just strongholds. They're just ideas that have been fortified by other lies of the enemy. So what's ironic is that ironic is not the right word, but what's funny is that you have all these different beliefs coming to you all the time. You hear people talking. Guess what? There are ideas being planted. Now, quickly, the Holy Spirit is working to get those ideas unrooted. But sometimes, if you don't have scripture to back up something, guess what? When a lie of the enemy comes, you're not prepared to fight it. Well, I guess it's just my lot in life to be sick. Actually, no, Matthew 8, 17, 2 Peter 2:24, Isaiah 54. You have scriptures popping up left and right and center because you've been building your spirit on that. And that's what it should be like. So anyway, I digress. We're going to get back into 1 John chapter 5. He says, we're on this back page. Yeah, forgot. We know for a fact that we are of God, and the whole world around us lies in the power of the evil one. Notice how it didn't say Christians lie in the power of the evil one, opposing God and his precepts. And we have seen and know by personal experience that the Son of God has actually come into the world and has given us understanding and insight so that we may progressively and personally know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, believers, dear ones, guard yourself from idols, false teachings, moral compromises, and anything that would take God's place in your heart. False doctrines can become idols. And it's prevalent. A lot of deliverance ministries, they focus so much on demons. And that's how, I mean, I was in a comment section the other day. And, you know, all these people who've been saved for 20, 30 years talking about how they have an octopus spirit. I said, what scripture is that? I've never heard of that before. You know, and we can come up with, you know, I had a vision, but it doesn't matter what type of spirit it is. It's the name of Jesus. And then even further, you may go even further and say, Matthew 17, 21 says that prayer and fasting is what brings out certain evil spirits. And it's not the person fasting and praying. It's the person ministering to that person that's fasting and praying. That's the issue right there. If I was really demon possessed, and I'm using this as an example, why would the spirit or the demon let me fast and pray? Obviously, Jesus was talking to the disciples who were ministering the healing. They weren't talking to, you know, you and they weren't talking to you and me who needed help. Why would a demon? And we can think about the guy in Mark 5. Why would the 6,000, you know, possessed demon, possessed man, be able to fast and pray? He's out there cutting himself with sharp rocks in a graveyard, and you want him to fast and pray? Who's he going to talk to? Beelzebub, you know what I'm saying? So we got to get back to the scripture and stop building up idols off of what we want to be true. Because, you know, it does kind of have a cool fantasy aspect to it, you know, to say, man, I saw demons coming out of the ceiling, and, you know, we had to use the name of Jesus and this fire sword. No, that's not how that works, you know. But anyway, I'm getting off topic. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1 real quick. Ephesians chapter 1 through 2. Hope you guys are enjoying tonight. I know it's blessing me. I want to say thank you to my brother for helping me out with tonight. He's been doing really good. He's, you know, he's great. You know, he takes all the pictures for the live streams and stuff. So it really means a lot that he's here. So I love you, brother. You're doing great. All right. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to keep going. Let me see. Paul, an apostle. Special mission. This is just verse 1. We're just going to read all the way down. Paul, an apostle, special messenger, personally chosen representative of Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed by the will of God, that is by his purpose and choice, to the saints, God's people who are at Ephesus and are faithful and loyal and steadfast in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace and inner calm and spiritual well-being from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed and worthy of praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, catch this, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. I want you to listen to that. I'm going to read. We all understand proper English, right? Let's go on with that. Let's read it one more time. Who has blessed us. Who has blessed us. B-L-E-S-S-E-D. Now, we know E-D is a past tense of bless. Okay? So, he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Now, we understand anything in the spirit has a physical manifestation. So, we're not going to get into faith right now. We can get more into that as we, you know, go on with this thing. But the thing you have to understand is that everything you need has already been afforded. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. All right. Just as in his love, he chose us in Christ, actually selected us for himself as his own before the foundation of the world, so that we would be holy. That is consecrated, set apart for him, purpose driven and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined and lovingly planned for us to be adopted to himself as his own children through Christ Jesus, in accordance with the kind intention and good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the of his glorious grace and favor with he who so which he so freely bestowed on us in the beloved his son Jesus Christ. In him we have redemption, that is our deliverance and salvation through his blood, which paid the penalty for our sin and resulted in the forgiveness and complete pardon of our sin in accordance with the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and understanding with practical insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, with regard to the fulfillment of the times, that is the end of history, the climax of the ages, to bring all things together in Christ, both things in the heavens and on the earth. In him also we have received an inheritance, a destiny which we are claimed by, well, we were claimed by God as his own, having been predestined, chosen, appointed beforehand, according to the purpose of him who works everything in agreement with the counsel and design of his will. So that we who were the first to hope in Christ, who first put our confidence in him as Lord and Savior, would exist to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, and as a result believed in him, were stamped with the seal of the promise of the Holy Spirit, as owned and protected by God. The Spirit is the guarantee, the first installment, the pledge, and the foretaste of our inheritance, until the redemption of God's own purchased possession, his believers, to the praise of his glory. I know you guys are like, get to the point. Just hold on. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for God's people, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I always pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that gives you a deep understanding, a deep personal intimate insight into the true knowledge of him. For we know the Father through the Son. Not once do you see him say, so that you guys can know more about demons, so you guys can know more about generational curses and, you know, other kooky stuff that people came up with. But he says, and I pray that the eyes of your heart, the very center and core of your being, may be enlightened, flooded with the light by the Holy Spirit, so that you will know and cherish the hope, the divine guarantee, the confident expectation to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, God's people, and so that you will begin to know what immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his active spiritual power is in us who believed. These are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength, which he produced in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, hallelujah, whether angelic or human, and far above every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and world, but also in the one to come. And he put all things, notice he said all things, in every realm in subjection under Christ's feet, and appointed him as supreme and authoritative head over all things in the church, which is, come on, I want you to catch this, which is his body, the fullness, I want you to get this, hold on, I'm going back. He says, and he put all things in every realm under his feet and appointed him as supreme authoritative ruler, head over all things in the church. The church, we are the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills and completes things in all believers. I want you to write that down if you're taking notes. I want you to really remember that. Put that in the comments, somebody. I am the church. I am his fullness. I am the church. I am his fullness. I want you to say that out loud. I am the church. I am his fullness. I want you to really think about that. I am the church. I am his fullness. That means wherever I go, he's with me. A lot of people be talking about, Lord, send revival. You are the revival. Lord, cast out demons. You do it. That's why he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature, everybody. Go, just go, do it. Well, I have to feel led to go. No, go. I didn't wait for God to tell me, should I be online or should I be in person? I just did it. And I don't, you don't know everybody you're ministering to. You just got to start. So we are the church. We are his body. We are the fullness of him who fills and completes all things in all believers. Now, if the body is with the head, that means we don't sit next to Christ. We sit with him in his throne. So that means even the people who are the feet of Christ, so to speak, guess what that means? Everything is under the foot of Jesus. And we are the feet of Jesus. Amen. Watch this. And he made alive when you were spiritually dead and separated from him because of your transgressions and sins, in which you once walked and you were following the ways of the world influenced by this present age, in accordance with the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit who is now at work in the disobedient, the unbelieving, who fight against God or fight against the purposes of God. Among these unbelievers, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. Our behavior governed by the sinful self, indulging in the desires of the human nature without the Holy Spirit and the impulses of the sinful mind. We were by nature children under the sentence of God's wrath, just like the rest of humankind. All right, praise God. But God, being so very rich in mercy, because of his great and wonderful love with which he loved us, even when we were spiritually dead and separated from him because of our sins, he made us spiritually alive together with Christ. Praise the name of Jesus. For by his grace, his undeserved favor and mercy, you have been saved from God's judgment. And he raised us up together. Praise God. Raised us up together with him when we believed and seated us with him. Come on, bro. I'm feeling this. In heavenly places, because we are in Christ Jesus. Oh, man, I'm going to keep going. For it is by grace, God's remarkable and compassion, God's grace and remarkable compassion and favor drawing you close to Christ, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life. Remember, eternal life is not a destination. It's not heaven. It is a lifestyle. Eternal life means I have the life of God flowing through me. This is eternal life. When I speak, it's eternal life. When I pray for somebody to be made well, it's eternal life. Because eternal life overrides human life. That's why whenever I pray for somebody, it doesn't matter what's going on in their body, they have to be healed. Praise God. And stop waiting for something crazy to happen and just receive the life of God. Doesn't matter what you're dealing with. Praise God. And this salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved, gracious gift of God. Praise God. So, I pretty much don't even have to keep going on that one. You can pretty much understand what I'm saying when it comes to that. That we have been made to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. I am part of his body. Wherever I go, he goes with me. That Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. He lives on the inside of me. I'm not hoping that the Holy Spirit talks to me today. He's talking to me. Hallelujah. He's talking to me. He's talking to me all the time, telling me how to do better, teaching me how to do better, giving me the power to do better. Hallelujah. making me the man I'm supposed to be, making me the person I'm supposed to be, calling me out on things so that I don't do it anymore, helping me not to do those things. See, I love God because he doesn't just call you out on something and then don't help you do it. That was the problem with the old covenant. There was nothing in us to anchor us. So God would tell us these things, and he knew it wasn't supposed to work because it told you what was wrong, but it didn't give you the power to fix it. But now, because of Jesus, we've been made righteous. Not just righteous. That means we've been made to be clean vessels so the Holy Spirit can dwell in it. So he can clean us, and then he can use us. So when people tell me that they believe that demons can live in Christians, they are nuts. Because to say that, you're saying that a demon, a nasty, vile creature, has the ability to override what the Holy Spirit did and live in me. I don't care what experience. I coughed up demons. Guess what? I did that too. I coughed up demons. And guess what? I still went back and, you know, did the wrong stuff. I'm not going to say exactly what it was because, you know, I don't know who's watching. But guess what? Either way, you know what brought me freedom? Was knowing who I was in Christ. Knowing that the devil has no authority over me. Has no ability. Has no ability. We just read 1 John chapter 5. And the evil one cannot touch him, bro. Praise God. Can't do nothing. He's a loser. Like my pastor calls him, he's a runt. He said it just like he's a runt. He was mad too. And he said, the devil is a little runt. Just like that. And I remember that. Me and my dad joke about that. The devil is such a runt. Just say that, bro. Even if you have to put in the comment, the devil is a runt. He's a loser. If I said loser says what, he would say what? Because he's a loser. Praise God. I got one more scripture I want to read to you. And then I'm going to pray for you guys. And prayer supersedes time. So I don't care if you're watching this on live or on replay. I don't care. Podcast. Look, we're going to read one more. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Praise God. All right. Praise the Lord. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God, which he has laid, stands sure and unshaken despite attacks. Bearing this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord stand apart from the wicked and withdraw from wrongdoing. In verse 20, now in a large house there are not only vessels and objects of gold and silver, but also objects of wood and earthenware. Some are for honorable, noble, good use, and some are for dishonorable, ignoble, and common use. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, which are dishonorable, disobedient, and sinful, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, set apart for special purpose, and useful to the master, prepared for every good work. And this is for anybody who's wondering, what are those things? He says, run away from youthful lusts, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those believers who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart, but have nothing to do with foolish and ignorant speculations, useless disputes over unedifying or stupid controversies, since you know that they produce strife and give birth to quarrels. Now, we just read in James chapter 3 where the quarrels are what cause every kind of sin to abound. So the biggest thing that I've learned in the past week, or I'll say the last month, our pastor's been talking about words. I've heard pastors come out of the woodwork, start talking about words. I mean, it's insane. The Lord is really trying to get us to understand your words have power. So when you start speaking stupid stuff and you start saying stupid stuff, you open the door to fall back into sin because your words have power. So if I just got it. Praise God. Jesus said in, I believe it was Matthew, he said, your words reveal the nastiness in you. I believe it was Matthew 16. I might be wrong, but I think that's what it was. And he says that it's not what you put into your body that defiles you. It's what you that comes out of your body that defiles you. So when I speak nasty stuff, I'm saying to the world that I have a nasty heart. So if I'm always looking for a fight, it's because my heart ain't correct. If I'm always looking to start something or I'm always looking to spout drama with people, because my heart is not correct. I'm going to leave that alone, but I want you to catch that. Praise God. So put away that stuff that doesn't, you know, that is how, because it, once it's out of your heart, you won't speak it. And I'd argue to even say that whatever you choose to speak, not only is a reflection of what's in your heart, but it also produces more of that same stuff in your heart. So it's really going like this. They depend on each other. It's tandem. They need each other. But anyway, if you've been struggling with stuff, you know, sin, addiction, whatever, and you're trying to get free and it seems like you can't get a hold on it, or maybe you've never thought about it up until tonight and you're like, I want to be done with that thing. Tonight is the night. Because if you've been made righteous with God, then you have the right, you have a privilege to receive healing from that thing. And I thank God for it now. I also want to say that if you're struggling and you're not saved, I'm not saying you have a demon, but if you do, the Lord, just by the anointing, is going to deal with that tonight. So, Father, we thank you for every person that's listening to this right now. We thank you, Lord, that you've already given us the power to handle all of these issues. We thank you, Lord, that the taste of drugs, the desire to sleep around, the appetite to watch things we have no business watching, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've already taken it at the cross. So we burn it out in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you glory for it now. I don't have to beg you because you said you hear us. You said you hear us, so we thank you. We thank you. Just lift your hands and praise God wherever you're at. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free at Calvary. And Lord, thank you for letting us walk out that freedom from this day forward in Jesus' name. Praise God. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, this is the most important part. Maybe you were once saved, but you kind of went your own way. It doesn't matter. Now is the time to make your life right with Jesus. Be sure that if you were to close your eyes tonight, you are going to heaven. You are going to see Jesus, not in judgment, but in a state of joy. Can you say amen? So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, I want you to put your hand up in the comments, put a hand up in the comments also, or just be ready to pray, because we're going to pray. We have to understand that the wages of sin is death, but there is a gift of eternal life for just believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he rose again, that he is coming back again. That is what is required. That's it. Just belief. It doesn't even require you to do anything. You don't have to die for your sins. He already did that. Praise God for that. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I'm going to lead you guys in a prayer, and I don't pray these prayers so that it's like a recital. I pray them because some people don't know how to pray. And so you have to be able to, you have to be able to know how to pray. And God will teach you, but this is a good blueprint if you don't know where to start. It starts off with talking to God. It starts off with, first off, as a sinner, admitting that you're wrong, that you've messed up, that you've fallen short of the glory of God, and that you need a Savior. So I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I admit that I've sinned. I repent. I believe in my heart you raised Jesus from the dead. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord of my life. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And fill me with the Holy Spirit like you said you would. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for praying that prayer. I know God is so happy you did. Look, I'm telling you, there is nothing God wanted more than to see you come back to Him. Look, God loves you. He missed you a lot. And maybe you fell away, but guess what? Whatever you did before 9:23 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is no longer remembered. God has no record of it, neither do I. So move on. Forgive yourself, because it's done. It's already done. Praise God for that. So I really appreciate that. I want you to do me a favor. Hey, Jordan, type in the chat for me, exclamation point saved. And when that pops up in the chat, you guys can click on that link. If you guys need to fill out that form, let us know you got saved so we can keep you guys in prayer. And also, we'll send you a free little 9-episode podcast. It's not long podcast. It's just 9 episodes. I believe it's 9 episodes. 9 episodes. And it goes over basic doctrines of the Bible to help you understand and to live the Christian walk. And yeah, that kind of stuff. So we appreciate that. Moving on, we're going to go to giving. So I appreciate it. Jordan, you know what I'm saying? Jordan out here doing his thing. So you can give, put exclamation give in the chat real quick. So we are obviously doing our best that God has given us to, with this ministry that God has given us to preach to young people. That's our goal. That's always been our goal. You know, obviously we reach other people. I'm not saying that that's not possible, but our goal is to reach young people. And so we thank God for giving us this platform. And if you would like to partner with us to do that, Philippians 4 lets us know that when you partner with preaching the gospel, every soul that is saved is credited to your account. So we thank you so much for giving as well. We also pray that as you give, 100-fold will come back to you, according to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And also that you receive everything you need swiftly in Jesus' name, that God will send resources, send the people that you need for whatever He's called you to do, and that you'll be able to do it efficiently, excellently, and that God will be glorified in that. So here's what you can do. You can give through Cash App or Venmo. We have DY Give for Cash App, Venmo. For PayPal, it is Destiny YTH. And then for Zelle, it is infodestinyyouth@gmail.com. We also take cryptocurrency. You can scan the QR code right there. I know you see it over there. And if you don't want us to do all that, if it's just easier for you to click a link, just go to the website, destinyyth.com/give. That's destinyyth.com/give. Amen. And we're going to just go ahead and say, thank you, Lord, so much. I'm going to read something for you real quick before we head out. And it's going to bless you. And then we're going to call it a night. And I'll see you guys back here tomorrow. But before we go, go to 2 Corinthians if you want to. But, you know, you probably should, because so that you know I'm not lying to you. I'm blowing smoke. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5. This is why I thought it was necessary to urge these brothers to go to you before I come and make arrangements in advance for this generous previously promised gift of yours, so that it would be ready, not as something extorted or wrung out of you, but as a voluntary generous gift. So he's talking to the Corinthian church because they promised to give to another church, and he wanted to make sure that it was something they wanted to do. He says, now remember this. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows generously that blessings may come to others will also reap generously and be blessed. Let each one give thankfully or thoughtfully with purpose, just as he decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come in abundance to you, so that you may also always, under any or all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in Him, and have an abundance for every good work and act of charity. So, first off, God's will is not for you to be broke some seasons and then, you know, rich some season. It's his will for you to be prospering all the time, producing all the time. And he will make sure that whatever you give will come back to you every single time. Now, I want you to think that the moment, and I heard this guy say this, the moment that Paul started calling money and gifts seed is the moment you have to realize that there's a harvest to be received. Can you praise God for that? So we thank God for his faithfulness, and we're going to pray right now. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for every person that gave today. We thank you, Lord, that you've called them to partner with us, Lord. Let every soul be credited to their account. We thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you love the people that are not saved enough to give us the money to go reach them. Praise God. We give you praise for it now. And everybody said, amen. All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow night. I'm telling you, it's going to be good. All right. I love y'all. Peace.